Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Mental health care is now at the forefront of the national conversation following the mass shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, Friday. It's unknown whether the shooter was diagnosed with a mental disorder. Acquaintances have described him as troubled. And in Washington, longtime Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Charles Grassley is calling for a study of gun violence and mental health issues. Here in Massachusetts, the state created a more community-based mental health care system 3 years ago. WBUR and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting have been reviewing the system, and we found some serious problems. Workers who say they're stretched, clients who say they're not getting the right services, police who say they're fielding mental health calls, and questions about the suicide of a resident inside a group home for mentally ill people. WBUR's Deborah Becker this morning as the first of two reports.
It was just a long, hard day that day.
Valerie Diaz recalls the day she was told that her 24-year-old daughter, Melissa Holloway, was found hanging in her closet at a Somerville group home.
Police came to the door. We have to inform you that your daughter, Melissa Holloway, we found her dead in the closet. And it just kind of went into shock after that, I think. I just couldn't stop crying.
The Somerville home was one of several state facilities where Holloway lived over the past decade as she struggled with bipolar disorder. Diaz says since her daughter's suicide in June, she's been unable to get reports about the state investigation of the death or an autopsy. But she says group home staffers told her that her daughter appeared to have been gone for a few days before she was found.
That's the sad part, to think that she could have been there for 2 to 3 days and nobody even noticed.
WBUR and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting have learned that state investigators determined that group home workers had not seen Holloway for almost 60 hours before her body was found, even though the group home is staffed round the clock. The home's operated by the nonprofit VinFen, which has the largest contract with the state to provide mental health services. VinFen CEO Bruce Bird says Holloway's suicide was troubling for his entire company.
It's a tragic fact that even though there have been lots of improvements in technology to help us intervene and help people in recovery and help them with clinical services, we still don't have the clinical methods we need to prevent suicides.
Bird would not say if any staff members were disciplined, but he did say the problem was because a staffer did not properly search for Holloway, even though she was missing.
This had nothing to do with the amount of staff or the required monitoring. It had to do with when the incident did occur, staff didn't adequately search in secluded areas.
Numbers of staff and staff training are common complaints of many vendors like VinFen who contract with the state to provide services in a system known as CBFS, Community-Based Flexible Supports. CBFS was designed to provide mental health treatment flexible enough to change with the shifting nature of mental illness. Critics say, though, that when the state implemented CBFS in 2009, it created a sprawling system for some 14,000 people where private vendors are providing mental health care with little oversight. Former State Mental Health Commissioner Mary Lou Sutters agrees with the goals of CBFS, but not the practice.
I would say that the Department of Mental Health, in making the switch to the CBFS model, has sort of not put in the correct level of checks and balances in terms around licensing, reporting, and the like, which is really a state responsibility and not a provider responsibility.
I couldn't disagree more with that statement.
Marcia Fowler is the current state mental health commissioner. She says Massachusetts closely monitors its $245 million worth of CBFS contracts with 19 vendors.
The department, through its 28 site offices, does regular contract monitoring through all of our CBFS contracts. And actually, for the first time ever, the department is collecting client outcome data. So we're actually able to see is the money we're spending improving the recovery for the people we serve?
Money has been an issue. State lawmakers cut almost $60 million from the Department of Mental Health budget over the past 4 years, although $10 million was restored last year. At the same time, the state dramatically reduced case managers for the mentally ill and psychiatric hospital beds. In 1990, there were almost 2,300 inpatient hospital beds in Massachusetts. Now, there are just over 600. This shifting mental health landscape prompted a recent study of CBFS by the Disability Law Center, which advocates for the mentally ill. Center investigator Courtney Mulligan says the study asked group home residents about their concerns.
The biggest one would probably be staffing. Staffing ratios, inexperienced staff, underpaid staff. Pretty much every issue that you can think of in regards to staffing we saw and heard about.
There are close to 400 CBFS group homes located throughout Massachusetts. Most are in residential communities. An analysis by WBUR and the New England Center for Investigative Reporting shows that police calls to group homes in some communities are up since CBFS was implemented. Records from Newton, Boston, and Worcester all show increases in police calls to some CBFS group homes over the past 4 years. Calls to the Somerville home, where Holloway lived, have tripled since 2008. In Cambridge, where calls are level, Sergeant Kathleen Murphy trains officers to respond to mental health calls.
What I try to say is, you know, at this point you're a social worker with a gun. Police officer signs on to become a police officer. They don't realize what some of these calls are going to consist of. And this is one of our, I think, 9 to 10% of our calls are of a psychological nature.
Boston Police Commissioner Ed Davis says police need more information. He says DMH will not tell police the addresses of group homes, citing health privacy laws.
We've got real practical issues that manifest themselves in the extreme in what we saw in Connecticut. So I think it's time to have a conversation about what makes sense, keeping in mind people's rights, but also keeping in mind the difficult job that we're being asked to do here.
Mental Health Commissioner Fowler maintains that in the aggregate, police involvement with DMH facilities has declined since 2008. But ask many mental health workers, and they say they often call police.
You have to call the police to salvage the situation.
To salvage a situation that can quickly escalate to unsafe, says Tony Hosta. He's worked at a group home run by Community Health Link in Worcester for the past 10 years. He's also union steward for the Service Employees International Union, Local 509, which represents a few thousand direct care workers. Worcester police data show that before CBFS, police were called to the home where Hosta works once the entire year. As of the end of this October, police were called to that home 35 times. Hosta says since CBFS was implemented, he's been stretched.
The caseload has increased considerably, and there's a lot of pressure on the staff. People who are supposed to be confined to facilities are now on the street or in the programs that are not capable of handling them.
That's the issue. Is the system providing appropriate care for the majority of residents it's designed to serve, and is it doing so safely? Advocates say the mentally ill are much better off in this client-centered, recovery-based model of care. Others say CBFS only helps those with strong advocates who are not severely ill and who can and should live independently. Steve DeFinis has been trying to get the right care for his 22-year-old son, Chris, who's bipolar and an addict. Over the past 3.5 years, Chris has ricocheted through more than 20 facilities, from psychiatric hospitals to group homes to jails, with seemingly no communication among agencies about his history or his treatment.
It feels like to me that there's nobody sitting on top of all of this, looking down on it and really trying to do anything about it. I feel like screaming at the top of my lungs.
DMH Commissioner Fowler promises, though, that the system has improved recently, with better communications among agencies and stronger training of almost 1,600 workers. She says she wants to hear from those involved with CBFS to continue to make it better and to make sure another tragedy doesn't happen. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Deborah Becker.